1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 through to 16. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and to which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Well, we're looking together at this passage this morning from 1 Timothy, really as a start to the new year and the thoughts I had and want to share with you about this new year. But as we do, I'm sure you all have heard of the phrase fight or flight. And really, it is our natural instinct in situations, and particularly situations of danger or extreme stress, that prepares our bodies either to stay, to fight, or to take flight, to run, to flee. I was thinking, though, I wonder if anyone believes that there's one of these better than the other. Like, surely it's better to fight, to be strong, to be brave, and to fight. And if you're a little bit weaker, then you're more likely to run. I don't think that is the case. I think there's a lot to be said for wisdom in any given situation, actually. What is required in that situation, either to run, take flight, or in fact to stay and to fight. Now, the following example, I am very aware, may fall into the category of myth, even though it has been described to me as absolute truth. It may fall into the kind of myth of Australia's drop bears. Okay, so I give you that warning in advance. But my understanding is this, that if you were out on a bushwalk, let's say, and you come across a goanna or a lace monitor lizard in the wild, because they're so fast over short distances and because they love to try and climb trees, if you encounter one of them, you should lie down on the ground. Some of you seem uncertain about that. Okay, you're wondering where I got my information, possibly. All right, and it may well be some of the animal experts may need to come and correct me here. Because that seems crazy, and it also seems complete nonsense at the same time. My fight or flight instinct is going to say, run as fast as you can. This thing with its mouth full of septic bacteria and sharp claws, I'm going to say, I'm not going to stay and lie down anywhere near this thing. I'm going to run. Yet, if it's as fast over short distances as they say, and if they love to climb trees and me standing still makes me look like a tree, and they might therefore look to climb me, then surely what I want to do is just lie down on the ground, right? Fight or flight. What should you do in that situation? Now I have given you all the information you need where you might otherwise have run. Now, of course, you will probably seek just to lie down. Fight or flight, what should you do? Naturally, you might think, run, flee. And in fact, that would be the wisest thing to do, surely. That would be the strong, the brave thing to do. The brave thing is not going to be to try and fight this goanna. I think there's times, actually, what we need to realise is this, that both are equally valid, flight and fight, depending on the situation. Now, when Paul is writing here in 1 Timothy, I imagine he's not really thinking of goannas, lace monitors. He's maybe even never come across one of them where he lived. And he's actually not talking about our natural instincts for flight or fight, although that phrase I think is very helpful in what he does speak to us about. He says both of these ways to take flight and to fight are necessary in the life of a Christian. In fact, he gives us a picture of the Christian life as a fight. Part of our fight is to contend with, to fight against sin. And it's also a fight for righteousness and holiness, to pursue these things. We must fight and pursue for certain things, but there's also times when we've got to run. As I explained to the children, we must take flight. We must flee. And in fact, listen carefully, to flee is in fact sometimes the best way to fight. That's what Paul makes clear. When it comes to sin, don't try and resist it. Don't try and see if you can take it on. Run. Flee. That's how you fight it. So flight and fight are really important, both of them in the life of a Christian. I think this is a really timely and a clear message for us today. We're at the start of a new year, and maybe, I don't know, maybe for the first time for some of you, but maybe just a reminder for the majority of us, is that we are in a fight. The Christian life is a fight. And I wonder, as you look to the year ahead, how you will face that fight. Some, I think, probably don't even consider themselves in a fight. I think I rarely do. I rarely wake up and think, okay, today I'm going to fight the good fight. Because that's what God has called me to. And so however I need to prepare to be in a fight, that is what I'm going to seek to do with God's help today. I'd love to hear if some of you are very aware and that you think of your life as a fight, the good fight of faith. I think this is a key picture for us. At the start of a new year, for me to look at the year ahead and think of the fight of faith. And that I picture myself in that and being part of that. As I say, in thinking about this service, I was considering the new year and New Year's resolutions, and I wonder whether or not any of you have any. Whether you do or don't, whether you like good New Year's resolutions or not, I think actually they can be very helpful. What is helpful in particular is to take stock, to consider what has passed, even if it's just the last year, and to consider the year ahead, what it holds, what you would like it to hold, what you would like it to look like. I think it's good actually, because otherwise the danger, certainly for me, is if I don't take stock, if I don't reassess, things just continue as they are. Now in some situations that might be good, because there might be some things in your life that if they continue as they are, that's going to be really good. You have good healthy habits and practices in your life, and particularly I hope and pray in regards to your love for God. You may be in good habits and practices, I pray these continue. The danger for me, though, is that where some things are not as they should be, if I don't take stock, don't reassess, don't try and set some goals or resolutions, then things will just continue as they are. And that means they just drift along. I have no real vision, no real purpose. And I'm just drifting through another day, another week, another month, another year just goes by. Not much happens. And I think most of us would actually benefit from a measure of holy discontentment. That we would like actually to be closer to God than we are even now. We'd love to be more like Him. We would like to be in better habits and practices of personal devotion and godly living. So some resolutions in these regards would be really good, in fact. They would be helpful. But what I want to make clear is this. Having clear vision and clear purpose for what God calls us to and how you would like to live is really, really good. One of the difficulties with resolutions is that while we might start the year really excited, focused, motivated, ready to go, for some people it doesn't take very long and it kind of fades off and you say, ah, well, look, I gave it a try. was worth a go. You know, at least for January, I was in good shape and was healthy and ate well, or whatever your resolution might be. God here, through Paul, in instructing Timothy and ourselves, is not saying, here's a good thing to try. Let's see how long you can last. And look, if you get to February, that's pretty good. If you make it to July, well done. This is the commandment of God. This is not just an optional extra. It's not just a good idea. Let's see how you get on with it. He's saying this is what you've got to do. This is how you have to live your life. You're in a fight and you need to fight the good fight of faith. And part of that will be to flee and part of that will be to fight. To flee sin and to pursue righteousness and holiness in your life. And I wonder if you would join me in having that vision for this year ahead. That purpose for this year ahead that we will engage in and be active in the good fight of faith. That we will seek the Lord's help daily to ask him first of all to help us recognize we're in a fight and to be in that fight. And that's why I want to start with saying, here's why. Here's the conclusion to the whole matter. It's important to start with the end first. Because when people make resolutions, they have a goal, they have a vision, an end in sight. That by the end of this period of time that they make this resolution, things are going to look different. Usually better. People don't make bad resolutions. I really want to eat a lot more unhealthy food and drink a lot more soft drink and put on a lot of weight and have to see the doctor far more regularly than I am currently. We want ourselves and the things that we're aiming towards to be different, to be positive, healthy changes. And so whatever that final goal and aim is, that is what motivates and drives us and pushes us on to do whatever is necessary to reach that final end goal and outcome. So if your aim is to get fit and you're going to do that by running, there will be days when you get up and you will not want to run. Or you will be halfway through your run and you'll think, I'm going to go home. Just don't want to do it anymore. But if you have a goal, a picture, a vision in your mind which says, yes, but that is what I'm aiming towards, then that is the thing which can drive you and motivate you and say, no, I'm going to keep on going. Because that is pushing me. That is driving me. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. I think quite a well-known verse says, without vision, the people perish. I wonder if you have vision in your life. A purpose every day for why you're living and how you're going to do it. Or are you just drifting along day after day, week after week, month after week? That's why I think New Year's resolutions are good. Particularly in regards to our Christian life, we need to look at these things, consider them and assess them. We need to have a vision. I think we need to be aiming towards something. Because when we do, it helps us to do then whatever is necessary and to complete the steps involved to get there. Ultimately, here, we're looking at the glory of God. Because if you fight the good fight of faith, if you are contending with sin, if you are pursuing righteousness and holy living, God will be glorified. How many of you would love that vision over your life that you are living for the glory of God? Do you have that vision, that purpose in your life? The Westminster Shorter Catechism says it so very many times from the pulpit and says it well. The chief end of man, your purpose, your goal, your aim in life, why you are here, is to glorify God. How can you glorify God? Well, you fight the good fight of faith. How do you fight the good fight of faith? Well, that's what we need to consider a little bit more of this morning. There are things that we need to do in order to fight the good fight of faith. But we will only do that if we consider why it is that we are doing it. And it's ultimately that God is glorified, but also so that you might get a crown. That's amazing. That God, in asking us to live in such a way that he gets glorified, also makes it so that you and I will be filled with joy in doing that. There's great joy in following the Lord. There's great suffering, there's great trial. But ultimately, joy comes in following him and being obedient to him. And there's a crown. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Paul again speaks of this good fight of faith. This is him speaking to Timothy at the end of his life, and he says, I've fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, therefore, as a result, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I think we should all have this vision for this year that we will fight the good fight of faith. That every day we would wake up and say, God, help me to have this picture today that I'm in a fight. So that you will be glorified, so that I will receive the crown of righteousness as I get to the end of my race, the end of my fight, that I will know joy in following you today. I wonder if you'll join me in seeking this vision for your life this day and in all the days ahead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You don't just enter the race and then stand still. You don't just climb through the ropes and stand in the ring. You have to engage in the fight. You have to run in the race. There are things that you have to necessarily do so that you can get to the end and get the prize. That makes perfect sense to you, I'm sure. But if it doesn't please you, come and speak to me at the end. But I want it to be clear. I want it to be simple. I want us to understand we're in a race. We're in a fight that leads to the glory of God and joy for you and a crown that will never perish or fade. But I have to ask, are you engaging in that fight? Are you running in that race? Are you doing all that is necessary to win the prize that comes? And so the first thing that Paul speaks to us about is that we have to flee. Paul says that here to Timothy. He says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. He's speaking of what he previously said earlier in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. And in particular, he's speaking about the love of money. But back earlier, even in that chapter, in chapter 6 and verse 4, he speaks about fleeing from quarreling, envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, constant friction. He also tells us in verse 11, there are things to flee from, but there are things to be pursued. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. I think what we could also then say is that anything that is contrary to what we are to pursue are things that we should flee from. So sinful things, unbelief, arrogance, doubt, we should flee from these things. Really, anything which is sin, we should flee from. We're told elsewhere we're to put off sin, to put to death sin in our bodies. One of the ways we do that is to flee. I think to flee or fleeing is such an interesting word. Here's what I think it means. It means do not dabble with or entertain. It means get out of there quick. Don't hang around here. Don't risk it. Run fast in the other direction. Look in the news. What is happening? People are fleeing where they can. If they're not trapped, they are fleeing. Why? Why are they fleeing? Because they are in great danger. I do not say this lightly when I say it. They are not hanging around. They should not hang around. They should get out of there quick. They should not dabble with or play with fire. Run fast in the other direction. Is that not true? This thing is dangerous. It could be fatal. Certainly at the level and ferocity with which it is coming and is in our country today. What about then love of money, arrogance, bad language, rudeness, drunkenness, drinking to excess, quarrelling, a miserly spirit, critical speech? Are they dangerous? Are you fleeing from them? Paul says to Timothy, flee these things. The love of money, he says, has led to people wandering from the faith. That is how dangerous it is. If you do not flee from sin, sin might overtake you and overwhelm you, and you might wander from God. You don't want that. So don't dabble with it. Don't entertain it. Don't play with it. Flee. Run in the other direction. Get far away from it as possible. Said it again. Said it before, so I say it again. To flee is often the best way to fight. We shouldn't try to handle sin, wrestle with it in that sense. Test ourselves by putting ourselves in situations where sin is around. We're to flee from sin. Do you have that vision in your life? Can you see this year ahead of you, a vision or a picture of fighting the good faith, which is to flee from sin? Because to give glory to God, to have joy in your life, and to gain the crown of righteousness, it will require you to flee from sin. You cannot handle sin. Don't put yourselves to the test. Here's a few, very few, we could be here all day, examples. If listening to particular music or watching particular TV programs means that you're going to use bad language, stop listening to it. Don't watch that TV program anymore. If you flirt with bad language on social media that's not honoring to God, stop it. Don't do it. Don't look at those pages. Don't share it for others to struggle with either. If certain programs or music or internet sites lead you to impure actions or thoughts, or if sexual immorality is a problem as a result, flee, run, fast, get out. Don't dabble with it. It is dangerous. If you struggle with alcohol, don't drink. If certain activities lead you to act in a way which is ungodly, you need to flee. If you hang around with people and all you do is you criticize other people, you need to flee. That is not healthy for you. That is not honoring to God. If all the time that you spend with people is in quarreling and dissension, run, flee, get out of there. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul, again instructing Timothy on some of these things, says there are people who are lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, ungrateful, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He says, avoid such people. Don't hang around with them. Bad company corrupts good character. And at times what you might just have to do is remove yourself physically from a situation or from a person, because otherwise it might overtake you and destroy you. Take flight. Don't stay and try and fight it. The best way you can fight is to flee. A couple of seasons ago, playing for the church football team, I was chatting to a player from an opposing team, a Christian guy, and I asked him how it was he became to be part of the team he was playing for. And he said, I was playing for another team in another division, and it was non-Christian league, not the church's league as it was that we were playing in. It says all non-Christian guys. And he said, but every time after playing, I would come home and I would be upset and I would be sad. He said the culture of the team with these non-Christian guys was not good. He said, I heard myself criticizing them. They criticized one another. We abused and criticized the referee. He said, this was not appropriate behavior for me as a Christian. He said, I had to leave. And so he joined another team. There may be situations for some of us here where we've got to do similar things. We have to flee. We have to take our sins seriously. Because Paul says that for some people, their love of sin, their dabbling with sin, their playing for sin, causes them to wander from the faith. Do you have that vision in your life? That for the honour and glory of God, for your obedience and joy in the Lord, and for that crown to come, you will flee. You will fight sin in your life and run from it, and rather pursue righteousness and holiness. Here's the final thing. We are in a fight. I don't have this often, this image often in my head day by day. I wonder if you do or don't. The Christian life is a fight. It's a good fight. It's the good fight of faith. But using that word, giving us that picture, Paul is trying to tell us clearly something then about the Christian faith. It is a fight of faith first and foremost. When you have faith in someone, you trust their counsel, you have confidence in their promises. Paul elsewhere says, I have kept the faith. What does he mean, I've kept the faith? I've kept on taking Christ at his word. I have kept on counting on what he says. I have kept on trusting his counsel. I have kept on having confidence in his promises. That is how I believe Paul is fighting the good fight of faith. Some people are faithful to church. When I was in Scotland, I came across so many churches, and the church that I was minister and pastor of was like that. The people are so faithful. Yet there was little faith in God. They were faithful to church, as in they were faithful to go. They were faithful to things being done the way they wanted things to be done. But there wasn't much faithfulness to God. There wasn't much transformation. It was largely a liberal church. Faith is a gift from God, not one that we earn or merit, but it is given to us, and we must exercise faith. Faith in God's word to us. Are you exercising faith in Jesus? Are you trusting in his promises? Coming to him for counsel? Being obedient to what he asks you to be obedient to? Because that is to fight the good fight of faith. If you're in a fight, then I'm sure you understand that it actually must be quite hard to be in the good fight of faith. For those who are in a fight, boxers, they have to undergo stress and strain, discomfort. They get punched in the face. That's not fun. That's hard. And so for you and I then, if we're in a fight, Paul's given us this picture, this language to help us understand it is going to be hard. There is going to be suffering, discomfort, stress. And Jesus says, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. A fight requires effort. You can't just hope for the best. Like if I set out and say, by the end of this year, I really want to have lost 10 kilograms. I want to be able to run Sydney Marathon. But to be honest, I've not got time for doing anything like eat healthily or train. It's very unlikely I'm going to hit that goal. I can't just hope for the best. I need to be deliberate. I need to be intentional. That is why to flee takes great deliberation and intention. You need to be disciplined in regards to your pursuit of God and your fleeing from sin. There are things you need to do, whatever it takes, in order to reach the goal, the end outcome that we have. It takes effort. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. Not just hoping for the best, not just ambling along, drifting by. Takes effort. At the beginning of this year, are you willing to do whatever it takes to fight the good fight? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to give God glory? Do you want to have joy in your life? Do you want this crown of righteousness? Are you willing to fight for it then by being obedient to God and fighting the good faith, the good fight of faith? There's a struggle in our lives with our old nature. That's why there's this constant fight of faith over our sin and our old way of living. In a fight, we have an opponent. Do not be unaware, because that's what your opponent, the devil, would love you to think, that you don't have an opponent, or that he's not doing much, or isn't interested in you, or isn't fighting hard, because he is. The devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That is your life he's talking about. Steal, kill, and destroy however he can your faith, to lead you from God, to put you on that path of destruction. So you need to be very aware of your opponent. If you are not, then you may wander from the faith because you have not recognized that he is strong and he is powerful, and you must confront and fight. Here's what I want to finish with. Because this is not just about trying harder, being better, like it's something we can do on our own. It's about the pursuit of God, asking him to give us vision, and asking him to help us be the people he wants us to be. It's about seeking his strength. It's about submitting to him so that he, by the Holy Spirit, lives through us and achieves his purposes in us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We have the power of God living in us by the Holy Spirit, equipping us and enabling us to fight the good fight of faith. We have this power through our knowledge of him. So maybe you need to consider your knowledge of him. Deliberately and intentionally, how can you get to know him more and spend more time with him so that you can receive more of this power from him? He's giving us everything we need for life and godliness. Amen.